and my Redeemer. Amen. Years ago, someone gifted the church a series of these paintings. This is one of them. This is a painting of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. What jumps out to you at this, from this painting, besides the glitter? The fence. Exactly. The thing that you see is this huge gate covering the picture. This rich man lived in a gated community. This parable is probably taken from an Egyptian folktale. The story is about two worlds within two worlds. There's the physical worlds, the earthly life, and then the life beyond. These worlds are connected by death. Within each of these worlds are two other worlds, the worlds of the haves and the have-nots, the world of the rich and the poor, the world of the comforted and of the afflicted. This vision of these two worlds after death is common in Jewish writings. Listen to the first century writing of 2 Esdras chapter 7, verse 36, quote, "The pit of torment shall appear, and opposite it shall be the place of rest, and the furnace of hell shall be disclosed, and opposite it the paradise of delight," unquote. The rich man is dressed in royal purple. Lazarus is dressed in sores. The rich man eats delicious food. Lazarus would be happy with crumbs. The rich man doesn't seem to be actively ignoring Lazarus, who's just outside the gate. He simply doesn't notice him. Lazarus is unseen. This is a story about how being in a place of privilege can create a bubble around us that is so comfortable, it prevents us from seeing there's others in need. There are others outside of our bubbles. There are others that don't have what we have. Like the rich man, it's hard to see a need when we are so far removed from the reality of our neighbor. We may not live behind gates, but there may be gates in front of our eyes. In Luke's gospel, the Pharisees loved money, and they ridiculed Jesus when he taught money as being a pathway to sin. They believed, as did many Jewish people, as do some today, that being rich is a sign of God's blessing, and poverty is a sign of God's displeasure. They thought that a person like Lazarus deserved his suffering. He was guilty of some heinous sin, just like Job. Unfortunately, we hear the same message today from those who preach the prosperity gospel. Both men die. The rich man is given a proper funeral, but Lazarus doesn't even get to get buried. And then is when the surprise happens. On the one side of a chasm that can't be crossed is Lazarus, in the arms of Abraham, nestled as a child in the bosom of his mother, fed, safe, warm. Lazarus has never had this experience before. On the other side of the chasm is the rich man, who's now tormented in the low place, left to gaze hungrily at Lazarus. Sadly, this man's still acting like royalty, even if he's dead, ordering Abraham to order Lazarus to serve him, as if he still can't see Lazarus as a person. This parable confronts us with seeing, really seeing the invisible suffering of the world. And I think this is today one of our most important moral challenges. The internet, social media, cable television, Make us more aware of the world's suffering than ever before. We see images of war, strife, and hungry children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Maybe this has made us unable or unwilling to see the suffering that's right at our doorstep. Maybe these are the gates that block our eyes. And maybe these two things are connected. The more we sort of become these voyeurs upon the faraway sufferings of others, the more we feel we can't do anything about the pain and injustice right in our backyard. Despair, cynicism, tempts us to close our eyes to suffering and shut down our overloaded sympathies. With one click, we navigate to a new website, Facebook post, or news channel. At First Emmanuel, we've created several ministries to help us really see those in our community. I get a knock on the door from somebody asking for food at least once a week. So Pam and I made some Ziploc bags with hygiene items, socks, and protein bars, and I keep it in a bin in my office. On Monday, I got a knock on the door from a homeless man asking for food. When I handed him those two Ziploc bags of socks and protein bars, his eyes lit up. He felt seen. Every Saturday, people gather in Friendship House to learn English. They've formed a community where each one of them feels seen. Today, we're holding our first open house of Tabitha's Closet. Pat, Charmin, and Linda have created a beautiful, beautiful boutique for women to shop for free clothes, scarves, shoes, purses, and jewelry with dignity and respect so that the women feel seen. Cindy and Tyrone have started Recovery Cafe, where those who are struggling with substance abuse can feel safe, and seen. When the rich man realized his fate sealed, he asks Abraham to warn his brothers. He says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And Abraham says, "If they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Now, who do you think that dead person could be? Jesus. Jesus. We have been given the words of Jesus. We have been given what we need to live faithful lives. We can listen or we cannot. We can respond or we cannot. But unlike the rich man, it is not too late. It's not too late for us to unlock the gates of our eyes and swing them open so we can see others just like Jesus saw them. So let's continue to look for ways that we can see, really see with compassion and love, the needs of our community. So, dear church, come to this table where you are seen and loved. Then go and see others with that love. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.